Welcome to the Nottingham Business School Business Leaders Podcast, where business leaders tell their stories and share their insights. All of our guests have a personal connection with Nottingham Business School, so listen, learn, enjoy and share.
Welcome to another episode of the Nottingham Business School's Business Leaders Podcast with me, Mike Sassy. Bal Bansal is Director of Global Technology Strategy at IHG Hotels and Resorts, a company that has 6,000 hotels and 350,000 staff around the world. Bal has worked in tech for more than two decades across Europe and North America and specialises in managing multi-million pound digital transformation projects. He began his journey at photographic company Kodak, where he was one of five graduate trainees selected from more than 1,000 applicants. His passion for innovation led him to take on key roles at global brands Parker Hannifin, GlaxoSmithKline, and Coca-Cola. Now he digitizes IHG's hospitality and business processes around the world. However, outside of his international business leadership, Bal takes his local community leadership equally seriously. He's found time to be a local counselor, student mentor, and even children's football coach, where he encourages more Sikh youngsters to get involved in the game. So Bal Bansal, welcome to this episode of the Nottingham Business School's Business Leaders Podcast.
Thank you.
So Bal, tell us about your day job.
So I look after technology strategy for Intercontinental Hotels Group, IHG, looking out year two, 5+ years in terms of technology trends, what we need to be prepared for. We break them down into projects and initiatives and we carry those out. And my team looks after a number of things associated with strategy, such as communications, engagement, et cetera.
Okay. So I can't resist doing this because off camera, off microphone, we were talking earlier and you speak to, on a semi-regular basis, you speak to researchers and investors in technology. Tell us, share with us what that last call entailed.
Yeah, I talked to a number of people. We look at technology trends. We look at what's coming in the future, what's going to happen, and you know, try to prepare ourselves. I look at things 1, 2, 5 years out, and I'm being regularly told that that's not good enough. I need to be looking at 10 years ahead. You know, an organization I work for has 6,500 hotels around the world, around this world.
This world.
Exactly. I won't elaborate too much.
But come on, you can, because it's not your own organization. I get that. But you're being advised, you're being told that people are starting to plan hotels on Mars. Is that right?
Well, let's break it down a second. So Elon Musk very recently launched a rocket into space and it landed back down successfully with no damage, no crashes, et cetera, et cetera. And he's been doing this for a while. Where it hasn't worked out. But recently it's worked. So it's only a matter of time. I give it another couple of years, he'll have people on that. Give a few more years, they'll be orbiting around Mars, et cetera. Give another couple of years. Now we're talking 6 to 8 years, right? They'll be landing on Mars and they'll need a place to stay.
Wow, that is digital transformation, isn't it? So let's go back a bit.
Yeah.
You started at Kodak a couple of decades ago. when it was a worldwide brand then.
It was.
And I've read stuff you've written online. You obviously absolutely loved it. So now Kodak's a shadow of his former self. But how did your initial experiences with them, how did that shape your leadership approach in your future career?
I absolutely loved Kodak. Absolutely. It was fantastic. There was a couple of things at Kodak that I really, really enjoyed. I think number one is it had a great community spirit. So at Kodak, it's one of these companies where you had, you know, generations of people working there. You had people living locally, no kind of one-hour commute and none of that. Everyone was kind
Nobody
of...
Nobody lived on Mars.
No one lived on Mars. and it was just great. You know, there's so many activities to do after work. People would finish at 5, 6 p.m. and, you know, go and do some activity. There's always like a quiz night. There's always something happening. And it's very community-focused. And I really, really like that. Really like that.
Most people work online now with teams all around the world. How do you try and bring that community spirit, the bonding that's involved in there? How do you bring that to your current role?
I think it's difficult. So if I just met you online, and there'll always be this barrier of how well do I know Mike? You know, where can I go with some of my humor? You know, where can Mike push me regards to my football team that I support? There'll always be this green in front of us.
Inevitably, yeah, go on.
There'll always be this green between us, right? So I recommend that you should always have an in-person meetup. And it just has to be the ones. So I'll give you a very quick example. I have some of my teams in India, and they've been reporting into me for a year. And whilst they're great, I always had difficulty with them kind of just telling me what they did on the weekend or, you know, any nice plans or anything like that, anything non-work related. And the reason being, the culture in India is if your boss is asking you something, you just tell him. But if it's anything outside of work, it's, oh, okay, why does the boss want to know this? What's he going to do? What's your plan? You know, so they have a lot of respect for seniors. And I said, right, I've got to fly out there. I've got to meet these guys. So I flew out and got them all in and I said, listen, I'm Bal. Okay, we're getting on fine. We're getting on great. But and this must have been about, I think it's about 11 a.m. I had this. I said, right, shut your laptops. Let's go for lunch. Let's go out somewhere. They're like, oh, no, let's do some work. We've got another hour. No, I'm in charge. Shut your laptops. We're going for lunch. And they're like a bit dismayed. So we all went off and we all had lunch. I said, right, okay, so tell me, what do you do outside of work? Do you play any sports? And hesitantly, one person goes, oh, I play a bit of cricket. Oh, great. Oh, you play cricket? Oh, great. Do you play on weekends? Where do you play? And slowly they opened up. Yeah. Each and every one opened up. One lady was getting married and, you know, Indian weddings are huge and all the rest. And then, so I come back and that was, you know, back in March time. And now our relationship is great. If I ask them what you're doing on the weekend, straight away, they can't wait to tell me because that barrier, that screen barrier is broken. So all you need is a one face-to-face conversation and that screen barrier is gone. And then you can bring the screen back up and talk to people over Teams and Zoom.
Okay, right. So an important part of what you do is innovation, obviously. And you're currently operating on projects around the world. You've operated on previous projects around the world, London, Brussels, Atlanta. I'm looking down your CV here. So how do you create a culture of innovation? And again, particularly in relation to those remote, diverse teams that you're managing?
It can be difficult. It can be difficult. We've got to be very, very clear in terms of what the journey is and what we all want to achieve together. With various teams dotted around the world, it's a sense of A, ownership, and B, collaboration. So making sure we all understand where we're trying to go, etc. You know, we spoke earlier, I used to have a lot of goals. I used to say, right, I need X amount of ideas, Y amount of pilots, we've got to do this.
KPIs?
KPIs, everyone loves a KPI.
Yeah,
KPIs, goals, all of that. And I learned from 3M that actually you don't need that.
3M?
3M's a post-it note company. Right. They do a lot more than post-it notes.
Right, right. So you went to see them.
Yeah.
So you know, you're looking for some inspiration.
Yeah.
And they give you a good idea, didn't they?
They gave some wonderful ideas. They said, well, firstly, they said, we don't measure goals. We don't have KPIs. We just let folks come up with any idea. And I was like, oh, okay.
Freewheeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Any idea you've got, hey, let's listen to it. Any idea. And they listen to it. And then as a community, as a group, individuals then think, oh, that's quite a good idea. Let's explore that. Actually, that's not. So then you get the community talking about the ideas. And then they'll self-raise the good ones to the top. The not-so-good ones automatically just fall down to the bottom.
Online team?
Yeah, yeah. You've got systems. You can have softwares that do this for you. You write an idea, make a little video, description, photos, whatever you want. And then people can either rate it, ask more questions. Then you can hold a conversation about it, etc.
Is that how you work at the moment? Is that how you work in that's your how innovation
we
team?
That's how we worked at Coca-Cola. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we had a little bit of software. We had people logging their ideas on. So I changed it from KPIs and goals. And they log their ideas on, etc. And then people rate it. And then top ideas came to the top and we'd explore them even further.
Do you have any great successes in that? Any notable successes?
Yeah, well, there was a lot of ideas that came to the top. We expanded. I don't know if you remember Coca-Cola, you could have your name on a can.
Yes.
That came from Australia. And that came from an innovation team there. Right. Yeah. So ideas like that. Somebody, that idea, if I could just share how that happened in Australia. So we have displays in your supermarket. Uh-huh, and so someone had written a name, but using the cans as a big display. So this is like a 7 foot wide, you know, 4 foot high display.
So Bal in cans of Coke.
Exactly. So it's all red, but Coke Zero at the time was black. So in black, you could see Bal as a name.
Oh, I see. Right, right, right.
And someone walked in and said, oh, that's clever, that's nice. I can see someone's name in this huge thing. But wouldn't it be great if it was just on a can? And walked off. On a can? Hold on. What about if you did put someone... So then, as an example, put Bal on a can. Uh-huh. This looks good, doesn't it? You know, will people buy that? And then someone said, well, what about frenzy? Everyone looking for the name. That's got to hit the headlines, right?
Okay. So, but how does a great idea like that reach an innovation leader like yourself? How does it end up on your desk?
People start talking about it. Conversations, corridor conversations. And as the buzz starts to increase in the hype, it naturally makes its way to me. And I'll listen to all ideas. And the good ones, the ones at the top, I'll pay more attention to them. And so if it's a good idea at the top and it's, hey, we can do this, we can do this, everyone's excited. You get excited about it. When something you fundamentally believe can work, you get excited. And that excitement then goes to other people and it gets bigger and bigger. And that can happen in all walks of life.
So it must be great fun being a digital innovation leader.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it at Coke. It was great. We had so many. We worked not just on our own ideas. We worked with startups, worked with other organizations. And it's all about collaboration, collaborating with others and understanding, you know, what can they bring to the table? What can we bring to the table? How can we work together, etc.
So now we're going to take a quick break from our chat to mention the MBA programs at Nottingham Business School. As we've learned from many of our guests, effective business leadership is about confidence, adaptability, and thinking strategically. These are the key ingredients to delivering innovation and impact in crowded, competitive markets. So if you are ready to transform your career, visit ntu.ac.uk/MBA to explore the MBA programs at Nottingham Business School. We're one of only 1% of business schools worldwide who hold the prestigious Triple Crown accreditation. That's ntu.ac.uk/MBA to find out more. Now back to the show. So now you're at IHG, hotels, resorts. How does that operate differently?
So now we have someone else who leads innovation, and I look more strategically. So I'm looking at more kind of the given items. Now, whilst I'm still looking 5 years plus out, I'm still looking at technologies that we need to focus on and how we can better prepare ourselves. Innovation, I work very closely with innovation, and the head of innovation will come over and say, hey, look, we've got these ideas. We're going to be doing these projects in the next year, two or three. So then for me, strategically, I need to think, okay, if we're going to do that project, how do we strategically bring it into our roadmap? How do we fund it? How do we work on it? What kind of return is it going to give, etc.? So there's different phases of innovation. There's a whole exploratory side. Once you've done an exploration and you've got an idea that's, you know, you've done a pilot or a proof of concept, you know it's going to work, then it'll come into kind of a strategical thinking. And it's more thought leadership in terms of, hey, that idea is great. I can see it working in different markets. And as, I don't want to say as older you get, I'm not that old, but as you get older, you get more experience and you've traveled probably around the world. And as you've got to know different cultures and regions and areas and how people are going to react to different ideas, etc., then you can probably think, where would it work best to get the best ROI, return on investment? Or where is it going to be more fruitful and people are going to get really excited? And it's not always just about quick, okay, if we put it in this region, we're going to sell X amount. It could cause a hype. And, you know, we've got influencers and various other, you know, media personalities these days. And it could be that it lands in, you know, they make a video on YouTube, gets a couple of million views. That's as good as nearly as selling.
So you clearly really enjoy what you do. Is that an important thing for leadership? I mean, you've talked about innovation. Yeah, that's really colourful and sexy. And now you're talking about strategy. I think conventionally, I might say that's a bit less so. But you know, you know, what's the thread that goes through us? What gets you up in the morning?
See, I thought about this. Is a great question. I thought about this the other day. Actually, I woke up the other day, and I'd been to the gym a couple of days before. My legs were hurting, and anyone who does legs at the gym knows that a day or two after, you're going to struggle to walk. And I got up and I sat there and I thought, oh, I'm going to struggle. But I was just so excited to get up and do what I do. Because I love doing what I do. Genuinely, I love.
But is it important for a leader to have that? I mean, yeah. You couldn't be as good a leader if you didn't have that.
You've got to have passion in whatever you do. There's a saying, right? If you love what you do, you'll never have to work another day or something along those lines. You've got to have a strong passion and really enjoy what you do. And anyone listening to this podcast, if you're doing something or you're going to go into a line of work and you're not 100% sure, give it a go, try it, and then try something else. You're young.
Yeah.
What age are some of the listeners of this podcast?
Okay.
20? 21?
We'd like to think it takes the full gamut because there are executive training goes on at the business school as well as the conventional undergraduates or postgraduates.
But what I'm trying to say is you've got time, go and explore, try different things. And when you think, hey, I like this, this is passionate, I'm passionate about this, or you know what, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm excited for today, you know you've got it.
Okay.
I've got you.
Okay. But despite your all-embracing day job, you still have close family network, passionate love of football, as we've already touched upon. And you even served 4 years on the local council. So how does a busy business leader maintain this work-life balance?
I go by Arnold Schwarzenegger's quote of, you have 24 hours in a day, and if you sleep for 8 and you work for 8, what are you doing for the rest of the time? There's a lot of folks these days that are just social media scrolling. Yeah, it could be your Twitters, your TikToks, your Instagrams, your Snapchats, whatever it might be. You're scrolling. Stop. Stop doing that, guys. Go do something. Go build something. Go and talk to someone. Yes, social media is important. I get it. But reduce the amount of time you spend on it really down to really either engage with core audiences, core interest, passion, whatever it might be. Engage with that and that's it. Done. Go and do something. So that's where I found time to be a counsellor and serve my local community. I finished last year, early this year, my UEFA C football training. I've applied for the next badges now. Where do I find time to do all of this? I help the community cook food for vulnerable people. We're doing a toy bank drive. We're doing food parcels. Where do I find time? Last week, I was in Atlanta for a leadership meeting. I'm back here and I'm helping the local charity. It goes on those principles. Use your time effectively. That's one constant. You know you've got 24 hours.
Time management.
100%. 100%. Use your time effectively.
And I think, again, you've just touched on it there. There's a benevolent thread running through what you do. You coach the children's football. You serve meals to homeless people. You're encouraging more Sikh youngsters to get involved in football. So, is this sort of thing, why is this important to you?
My religion. So within my religion, there's three core pillars. And for me, it's to help. You know, I can build masses of wealth. I can have lots of things. But all of that, I'm not going to take with me when I die. But what will happen is if I go and help people and encourage people and support people, there's memories of, oh, Bal, help me. We'll be there. And hopefully they'll help others. And then say, so all of a sudden, you build this community of everyone just helping each other and getting stronger together.
Do you think your community leadership aids your business leadership and vice versa? Do you think they play off each other?
I think there must be an element there. I think there must be. I'll put it back to Kodak. I remember watching a safety video at Kodak, if I can share this as an example.
So what about safety videos at Kodak 25 years ago? Yeah, go on.
So there's a safety video. I'll never forget this. It was, they showed a video. It's an oil rig. It's on fire. And or part of it was on fire. And they were like, right, what would you do in this situation? Would you wait for more information? Would you start telling people to evacuate? Would you raise the alarm? There's different options. And they said, look, we don't want you to be passengers. We want you to be drivers. Okay? So if something was to happen, we want all of you to get up and do something. Okay? You've got to save lives. You've got to react. You've got to do that. And that hit me. And that always stays in my mind.
Made an impression.
100% it did. Absolutely. And now I always think, I'm not a passenger. If you're going to do something, come on, let's do it. And so with the charity work, I'm the chair of the trustees for Green Knights Mission now. And again, I think it's just naturally me, right? I just want to get up, I want to drive, I want to help more people. We're helping this year, we're doing Christmas food parcels. And we're helping more people than last year. And we're reaching out to other cities as well that need our help. So I think, yeah, that video has played a huge part without me realizing. This seems like therapy now, this podcast.
Good stuff. Right. Yes, we're a lot of things. Yeah, mentor, therapist. Yes, that's us. And finally, you have, in your role with IHT, you've collaborated with a number of universities, including our own Nottingham Trent. This is a pod for NTU's Nottingham Business School. What leadership advice might you have for our students, academics, executive partners?
Can I give the same advice that I got when I started Kodak? It was 2 weeks before I started Kodak, as in Leeds. And we're at a Gurdwara, Sikh temple, and this gentleman pulls up in a brand new X5. It's funny how I remember certain things. It's a BMW X5. He pulls up and I said, oh, lovely car. And I had my brother-in-law with me, and he goes, oh, you know, about starting out Kodak, any advice? And he goes to me, oh, he's a senior executive somewhere, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember his car. And he goes, yeah, make all your mistakes whilst you're young. You won't be forgiven when you're older. I made a ton of mistakes when I was at Kodak, when I was young, and I've learned from them. You won't learn just by reading, just by writing, just by listening. You'll learn by making mistakes. So go and do. I can't emphasize that enough. Go and build, go and do. Just do something.
Val Bansal, Director of Global Technology Strategy at IHG's Hotels. Thanks very, very much for being our guest on the Business Leaders Podcast.
Thank you for the invitation.
If you enjoyed this episode of the NBS Business Leaders Podcast with Val Bansal, why not listen to previous shows with the Chief Marketing Officer of Boots, Pete Markey, the former CEO of ASOS, Nick Beaton, and the Chief Executive of Capital One UK, Lucy Hayes, MBE. This episode of the NBS Business Leaders Podcast was produced for Nottingham Trent University by Russell Bingley and presented by Mike Sassy.